This morning, I want you to think of what just one man by the name of Jared Vogel. Remember that name? Do you know that name? Jared Vogel has done for an American sandwich chain known as Subway. He became their primary spokesman, starring in a commercial that touted his 245-pound weight loss from eating their low-fat turkey sandwiches. Jared held up his old pants, and it's obvious that he had lost a whole person out of those pants. And he said, "Here it is. And look where I was." And to Jared, the negative effects were minimal. Someone has said that from eating those turkey sandwiches, he developed an occasional gobble and a waddle of loose skin under his chin. But other than that, the result of that campaign has been the huge growth in Subway shops and sales. Subway, listen to this, has now passed the ubiquitous American icon, McDonald's. There are more Subway shops now than McDonald's. Folks, that's amazing. Now, why is that? Is it because they advertised all the items on their menu and listed all the ingredients? No. Is it because the workers at Subway work harder than the workers at McDonald's or other fast food restaurants? No. It is because one man, one person, told of the tremendous difference eating at Subway had in his life by incorporating Subway sandwiches into his diet. He lost 245 pounds, and the message struck a chord with people living in a time when obesity rates are up, and when people said, "I now don't have time to prepare a home-cooked meal." The tremendous growth of Subway shops is due to Jared saying, "Here I was, and here I am." And Subway made the difference. And you know, people thought, well, my oh my, if Subway could do that for Jared, maybe it could do it for me. If Subway made that difference in Jared's life, maybe it could make a difference in my life. Now, folks, I think that's true in a spiritual sense. When someone receives Jesus Christ into their life, when a life is touched by God, and the grace of God flows into that life, there's a tremendous difference. When Jesus Christ comes into our life and he floods us with God's grace, God's enabling power. We've all heard grace, God's riches at Christ's expense, but it's also God's resources for Christian employment. When God's grace comes into my life, we're changed. And we should be able, as Christians, to say, "Here I was, and here I am now. And Jesus made the difference." Grace made the difference. The grace difference And you know, when that happens, people might just say, if grace could do that for Les Sutherland or for him or her, maybe Jesus could do that for me. Maybe grace could change my life. Now, we've been in a series, New Testament Postcards. We're looking at the four books in the New Testament that are only one chapter long. And this morning, I want you to take your Bibles and open them up to Philemon. Philemon, where's that? Well, this is a little harder, but I think it's nine books from the back. It's sandwiched between Titus and Hebrews. And you know, one thing I like about these little books that sometimes never get preached on, sometimes we never maybe even read, they show us the lives of Christians. They get down into the personal nitty-gritty lives of Christian people. And you get to know some people in the Bible, and you see things in their lives. And the great thing about preaching through these, I can read the whole text. And we're going to read all of Philemon today. Look at Philemon beginning in verse 1. Paul, a prisoner of Christ Jesus, and Timothy, our brother, to Philemon, our beloved brother and fellow worker, and to Apphia, our sister, and to Archippus, our fellow soldier, and to the church in your house. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God always, making mention of you in my prayers, because I hear of your love and of the faith which you have toward the Lord Jesus and toward all the saints. And I pray that the fellowship of your faith may become effective through the knowledge of every good thing which is in you for Christ's sake. For I have come to have much joy and comfort in your love, because the hearts of the saints have been refreshed through you, brother. Therefore, though I have enough confidence in Christ to order you to do what is proper, yet for love's sake, I rather appeal to you, since I am such a person as Paul, the aged, and now also a prisoner of Christ Jesus. I appeal to you for my child Onesimus, whom I have begotten in my imprisonment, who formerly was useless to you, but now is useful both to you and to me. I have sent him back to you in person, that is, sending my very heart, whom I wish to keep with me so that on your behalf he might minister to me in my imprisonment for the gospel. But without your consent, I did not want to do anything, so that your goodness would not be in effect by compulsion, but of your own free will. For perhaps he was for this reason separated from you for a while, that you would have him back forever, no longer a slave, but more than a slave, a beloved brother, especially to me, but how much more to you, both in the flesh and in the Lord. If then you regard me as a partner, accept him as you would me. But if he has wronged you in any way or owes you anything, charge that to my account. I, Paul, am writing this with my own hand. I will repay it, not to mention to you that you owe me even your own self as well. Yes, brother, let me benefit from you in the Lord. Refresh my heart in Christ. Having confidence in your obedience, I write to you, since I know that you will do even more than what I say. At the same time, also prepare me a lodging, for I hope that through your prayers I will be given to you. Epaphras, my fellow prisoner in Christ Jesus, greets you, as do Mark, Aristarchus, Demas, Luke, and my fellow workers. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. And what I see here, in this little postcard, there are three main characters on center stage. And in each of these characters' lives, what I noticed as I read through here was the grace difference. How grace had changed their lives. And so that's what we want to look at today, the grace difference. And there's three men. The first one I want to, again, bring forward or introduce is Paul. Paul. And Paul, by grace, he focused on service. He focused on service. He's the author of this little postcard. And grace had made a big difference in his life, a tremendous difference. You remember what we know about his past life. You remember that Paul was a Jew, and he was raised in Jewish schools. You know, some people today go to Christian schools or parochial schools. Well, Paul went to a religious school. He went to schools of the Jews. And he was educated under some of the greatest Jewish leaders, one of the great leaders, the Rabbi Gamaliel. He taught. He was in that school. And Paul, by religion, was a Pharisee. And the Pharisees back in that day, they were the religious conservatives. They were the ones, they believed in the Old Testament. And not only did they believe in the Old Testament, they kept the law. The law was very highly esteemed by the Pharisees. In fact, they said, you got to keep the law. You got to keep the law. In fact, they were so meticulous in trying to keep the law that they added over 600 rules and regulations to help people keep the law. And they wanted to be meticulous. They were scrupulous in trying to keep the law. But you remember what Jesus said about the Pharisees? He said they were a bunch of what? Tell me. Hypocrites. Phonies. Hypocrites. He said, you Pharisees, you look good on the outside, but on the inside there's a bunch of dead men's bones. You keep the outside of the cup clean, but the inside, the heart, is far from God. You Pharisees are hypocrites. Hypocrites, he called them. He said, the Pharisees, you know what they were like? They were sanctified fruit inspectors. They were going around looking in everybody else's life. And they would find specks in other people's eyes when they had a what? A log in their own eye. They were always going around criticizing others. They were always fault-finding in others, and they failed to see their own spiritual condition. And Paul was a Pharisee. And when this new Christian, quote, group came along, Paul thought Christianity was a spurious religious cult. And so Paul determined to stamp it out. And he became a one-man army to annihilate the Christian church. Can you imagine that? This is Paul. By his own testimony, he said, I was a blasphemer of the name of Christ. I was a persecutor of the church of Christ. And I murdered Christians. Can you imagine that? That's Paul. I'll tell you what, that was his background. That's his background. But then grace came. You remember? He wasn't seeking God. He was on his way to Damascus, seeking with letters, seeking to get Christians to persecute him. And there he was approaching the city. And at noonday, when the sun was in its strength, a bright light from heaven came down on Paul. A light so bright it made the sun look like a black coal in the sky. Struck him down, and he heard the words, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, who are you? And then he heard the words. Can you imagine what he thought? I am Jesus. Uh-oh. I am Jesus, who you're persecuting. And I'll tell you what, he had an encounter with the living, resurrected Christ. And there, Paul, in Damascus, believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. And God's grace, he didn't deserve it, did he? Mm-mm. His grace started to pour into his life. And the blasphemer became a believer. And the persecutor became a preacher. And the murderer became a missionary. Not a missionary, the greatest Christian missionary ever. The grace difference. That's what Jesus can do. That's how powerful God's grace is. And now he's writing a letter to Philemon, focusing on service. Where was he when he wrote this letter? He was in prison. He was in jail in Rome. Verse 1, Paul, a prisoner of Christ Jesus. Well, was he a prisoner of Rome? Yeah. But I'll tell you, the bonds of love and grace that held him to the Lord Jesus were stronger than the iron bonds that held him in captivity. Bonds of grace are always stronger. And there he is in jail. And there he is in captivity. But Paul, even as a prisoner, by God's grace, he saw opportunities where other people see obstacles. He didn't say, oh, I'm in jail now. Can't minister anymore. He says, I just started witnessing there, and people came to know the Lord through his witness. When he's in jail. I mean, when that Roman soldier was bound to him, he had a captivated audience. Every 4 hours when the guard was changed, he got somebody else to witness to. And the witness went all the way up into Caesar's household. See, he saw not obstacles, he saw opportunities. He didn't let circumstances stop him from serving the Lord. Wherever we are, whatever circumstances, he served the Lord, and we need to serve the Lord. And you know, he did some of his greatest work when he was in jail. Because he wrote what it called the prison epistles. Ephesians. Oh. Colossians. Philippians. And he wrote this little postcard, Philemon, from jail. Just continuing. You see, grace, when grace is at work, you serve. You serve the Lord. And we see how grace worked in his life in this letter. First of all, we see it in the fact that he wrote this in a spirit of appreciation. And I want you to see this. He was a Pharisee, remember? A Pharisee who could have been critical, who could have been fault-finding. Pharisees were known for looking for others' faults. They looked down their noses at others and said, thank God I'm not like that person. But look at verses 3 through 7. Look at verses 3 through 7. And how a spirit of appreciation comes through. Paul here is a conduit of God's grace. He says in verse 8, grace to you. Grace to you. And peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God always, making mention of you in my prayers, because I hear of your love and your faith. I'll tell you, he doesn't say, I thank God I'm not like you. He says, I thank God for you. He's not critical. He's appreciative. See, that's the grace difference. See, in a church where you have the grace difference, people aren't looking for the specs. People aren't looking to criticize. People are appreciative. In a marriage where you have the grace difference, it's not husbands criticizing their wives and wives criticizing their husbands. It's appreciation. I appreciate you. I thank God. You're God's gift to me. You say, oh, that's hard. Well, you know what? It's the grace difference. It's the grace difference. He showed it in this spirit of appreciation. You know, grace can change a critical spirit into appreciation. And you know what he calls Philemon? Look down in verse 7 at the end, the last word. Brother! Wait a second. Paul's a Jew. Philemon is a what? A Gentile. To the Jews, to the Pharisees, Gentiles are what? Dogs. But he doesn't say, come down here and say, you know, refresh my heart, you dog. Brother. Folks, that's the grace difference. You see, he turns prejudice into love. He shows appreciation, but he also shows in the grace of a spirit of gentleness. A spirit of gentleness. As an apostle of Christ, Paul could have ordered Philemon to do what he wanted him to do. He could have pulled rank and say, by my authority as the apostle of Christ, I command you. But he didn't. Look at verse 8 and 9. Look at the gentleness. He didn't throw his weight around. He said, therefore, I have enough confidence in Christ to order you to do what's proper. But for love's sake, I rather appeal to you. He appealed to him. You know, some people want to act like frustrated drill sergeants. Some of you have been in the service. I thank you today, day before Memorial Day. If you've been in the service, whatever service you've been in of our country, I thank you for serving us. But some of you have been in the service, and you know what drill sergeants act like. I'll never forget the first day in boot camp. First day, I woke up, and I went into the latrine. And I went in, and I began to brush my teeth. And as I brushed my teeth, I looked down, and I looked up, and behind me was the biggest, meanest looking, I have to say this, and I don't want to, ugliest man I had ever seen in my life. I mean, his name was drill instructor Willie E. Williams. He was my drill instructor, my drill sergeant in basic training, one of them. And he was looking down at me like that. I mean, he was like this tall, looking down at me. And I'm there, oh my. And he said three words, get it off. I'm thinking, what am I supposed to do? And he said it again, get it off. And so I started brushing faster. You know, I thought, And then he said four words, mustache, get it off. That's the only time that I've been mustacheless. For the last 40 years. But I mean, and you know what I realized? He had not gone through the grace difference. But you know, there are people like that. They want to be drill sergeant. They want to tell people and order people. There are pastors like that. There are church leaders like that. There are husbands like that. There are wives like that. But you know what? When you go through the grace difference, how gentle Paul was. He could have pulled rank. He could have said, you know what, Philemon, here's what I want you to do. Do it. But he didn't. He rather appeals to him and says, I appeal to you, and you know what? I believe you're going to do the right thing. That's the grace difference. And then he has not only a spirit of appreciation, a spirit of gentleness, but a spirit of reconciliation. The whole letter is written in a spirit of reconciliation. He writes this letter to get two Christians back together. Back together. The whole focus of Paul's life, even when he was in jail, was serving others, ministering to others, ministering for Christ. And what made the difference? What made the difference in his life? He tells us in 1 Corinthians 15. Let me tell you what he says. He says this. I'm the least of the apostles, not even fit to be called an apostle because I persecuted the church. But then he says this, but by the grace of God, I am what I am. And the grace of God did not prove vain in me because I labored more than them all. Oh, wait. Not me. The grace of God in me. You see what God did? When Christ came into his life, he poured grace into Paul. And that's what he does us. He pours grace into us. And he wants his grace to what? Flow through us to touch others. The grace difference. Well, Paul, by grace, focused on service. Now, let me introduce you to a man here. His name was Onesimus. And by grace, he faced a sinful past. Paul focused on service. Onesimus faced a sinful past. And here we get the purpose of the letter. Paul was sending a man named Onesimus back to face a sinful past. And when I think of Onesimus, I think of a church sign I saw just a month ago or so, a month or maybe two. And the church sign said this, every saint has a past and every sinner has a future. Think of that. Every saint has a past and every sinner has a future. And you know what? Onesimus had a past. And this Onesimus was formerly, he lived in Colossae and he had been a slave. He was owned by Philemon. And slavery, folks, permeated the Roman Empire. It is estimated, some have estimated, there were 60 million slaves in the Roman Empire. Now, that's amazing because the whole population was only 120 million. So up to half, some say a third, some say up to a half of the people living in the Roman Empire were slaves. And Onesimus was a slave. Now, slaves were the lowest class. They were considered property of their owner. J. Vernon McGee says, quote, a slave was chattel. He was treated worse than an enemy. He was subject to the whim of his master. It seems as though Onesimus was not happy being a slave. And so what he did, he ran away. In doing so, he stole money from his master, Philemon, and made his way 1,300 miles to Rome. And he went to Rome, and I think he went to that city to get lost in the masses. And somehow, while he was in Rome, he came in contact with the Apostle Paul. Now, how'd that happen? I'd like to, that's one question I might ask when I get up there. How did this happen? It was the sovereignty of God, of course. You remember, Paul's under arrest. But somehow he came in contact with the Apostle Paul, and Paul led him to Christ. Look at verse 10. Verse 10, he says, I appeal to you for my child Onesimus, whom I have begotten in my imprisonment. Paul led him to Christ. And folks, the difference grace made. His name, the name Onesimus means useful. It was a common slave name. But slaves from what is called the Phrygian region, which was the region where Colossae was, they were known, that it was kind of a well-known fact, they were lazy and ill-disciplined. The slaves were lazy, ill-disciplined. Now, look what Paul says in verse 11. Verse 11, Paul says, who formerly was useless, un-Onesimus, to you, but now is useful. He's really Onesimus to both you and me. You see, once Jesus came into his life, he experienced the grace of God, and Onesimus really could begin to live up to his name, really begin to be useful to the kingdom of God. Immediately, he began to minister to Paul. He became a blessing to Paul. He was so useful to Paul. Paul says, I wish I didn't even have to send him back to you. I wish I could keep him here with me. And Paul's heart was knit to his. Look at verse 12. He says, I've sent him back in person. That is, I'm sending my own heart. I love this guy. He has been such a blessing in my life. This one who was useless is now useful. And folks, that's the grace difference. Amen. You know, when a person accepts Jesus into their heart, a useless employee, I'll tell you what, becomes a useful employee. A useless sinner becomes a useful saint when you come to Christ and God pours his grace into our lives. Now, what happened here? Onesimus told Paul about his past, that he had been a slave, owned by a man named Philemon from Colossae. Now, remember, Rome was 1,300 miles away from Colossae. And the more Onesimus shared with Paul, Paul said, wait, Philemon? Philemon of Colossae? You mean the Philemon that lives on Main Street? And Onesimus says, yeah. Paul says, I know him. In fact, I led him to Christ. No, it's a small world. It's a small world. You know, have you ever gone someplace and you're way far away from home and you meet somebody that knows somebody in your family or knows your next door neighbor? Linda and I were down in Kentucky at Mammoth Cave. We came out of there, out of that big hole in the ground, boy. And we came out and I sat down. There was an older couple sat down beside me and I heard the word Pittsburgh. And I said, are you from Pittsburgh? And they said, yes. I said, are you a Steeler fan? They said, oh yeah. And I said, yeah. Right, good. And I said, well, where are you from? They said, well, we live in Crafton. I said, Crafton, that's interesting. That's where my mom's family was from. And that's where my mother-in-law's family was from, Crafton. And I said, did you ever, he said, what was their name? And I said, Schoenberger. He said, oh, I can't believe it. Schoenberger, I used to date Helen Schoenberger. And he knew of my family. This is Don in Kentucky. Small world. That happened here. Onesimus says, yeah, Philemon, I know him. I led him to Christ. And then he went on to say, yeah, and I ran away and I stole some money. And you know what? I believe with all my heart, Paul did not condone slavery. The New Testament writers didn't condone slavery. Somebody says, no, nobody ever speaks out against slavery. Well, I don't believe that they believed in slavery. But I believe Paul might have said something like this to Onesimus. He might have said something like, you know, Onesimus, I'm not for slavery. I don't think slavery is right. But what you did in running away and stealing from your master Philemon is not right either. And two wrongs don't make a right. What do you think we need to do, Onesimus? What do you think we need to do? Do I need to go back? I think you do. I think you need to go back. But you know what? I'm going to write a letter for you. And I'm going to appeal to my brother Philemon on your behalf. And I'm going to have you along with Tychicus, I'm going to have you take the letter, take that postcard, so you can hand it personally to Philemon. Would that be hard? Was it hard to face a sinful past? Well, folks, our runaway slaves were subject to the most terrible punishments. Bishop Lightfoot comments on this. He says, the slave was absolutely at the master's disposal. For the smallest offense, he could be scourged, mutilated, crucified, or thrown to wild beasts. J. Sidlow Baxter writes, terrible punishments were sanctioned by Roman law for such offenses, even to the inflicting of death. Folks, this was not going to be easy. Generally, it's not easy to face a sinful past. But grace gave him the strength to go home. Now, sometimes we too must face a sinful past. Sometimes we've got to go back and ask somebody for forgiveness. Sometimes we've wronged somebody, and God says, you've got to go back and make it right. Maybe even pay restitution or do whatever it takes to get it right. Maybe you're facing a hard situation now that God is calling you to do something. I'll tell you the grace. It's only by grace. And so Onesimus says, yeah, I'll do it. And he carries this letter to Colossae, to his master Philemon. The grace difference. By grace, he faced a sinful past. And then a third and the last man I want to just look at today, Philemon. Philemon, by grace, he forgave a wrong suffered. And again, the letter is addressed to Philemon. He was a rich Gentile who lived in the city of Colossae. Paul had never been to that city. He says that in the book of Colossians. He had never been there. But we think that he met Philemon when he was ministering in Ephesus, and that's where he led him to Christ, verse 19. Paul appeals to him on behalf of Onesimus. He says, Philemon, I met Onesimus and led him to Christ. Verse 15, perhaps he gives a divine perspective here. Verse 15, he says, perhaps he was separated for this reason from you for a while, that you would have him back forever. No longer a slave, but more than a slave, a beloved brother. What he's saying here is, you know what? Philemon, I want you to forgive him. I want you to forgive the wrong suffered. But wait a second, but what about the money he stole? What about the money he stole? Paul says in verse 18, but if he has wronged you in any way or owes you anything, charge it to my account. Charge it to my account. Verse 19, I will repay it. And then he writes in his own hand. Do you see that? Where he says, I, Paul, am writing with my own hand. He is writing in his own hand because this is an I-O-U. Paul says, if he stole anything from you, put it on my account. I'm writing in my own hand. I-O-U. But then look what he says. Verse 19, not to mention, but I will mention. That sounds, not to mention, but I will mention. You owe me. Isn't that interesting? Here's my IOU. But you owe me. Not money. Your very life. Because Paul had led him to the Lord. Did Philemon listen to Paul? Did he forgive? Well, verse 21, Paul was confident that he would. He says, having confidence in your obedience, I write to you, since I know that you will do even more than I say. But you know what? We're never told the outcome. We don't know. It's kind of like watching some of you are lost. Some of you watched the series Lost. And you remember, I don't know what happened. I heard that on the last episode, something happened that it cut off and you didn't know what happened, but I guess they re-aired it. But it's kind of like, it's cut off. We don't know, but I think we do know. Because the reason I think we do know is because when Philemon received this letter, he didn't crumble it up and throw it in the waste paper can. He didn't take the shredder. Shh, forget that. He didn't do that. He brought it to the church, and we have this little book. I think that is probably evidence, good evidence, that he did forgive him. And not only did he forgive him, I think he sent him back to Paul to minister. And you know, that's the grace difference. Has someone wronged you? Has someone hurt you? God has poured grace into your life. Will you let it flow through? See, there was another letter that went along with this, the letter of Colossians. And he wrote in that letter, in Colossians 3:13, bearing with one another and forgiving each other. If anybody has anything against anyone, just as the Lord forgave you, so also should you. Just as God has poured grace into your life, let that grace flow through to other people. That's the grace difference. Now, I'm going to close, but I want a conclusion. Folks, this is a beautiful picture. This little epistle is a beautiful picture of what Jesus has done for us. How so? First, we are all Onesimuses. We're all Onesimuses. We're all, apart from Christ, useless. He was useless. His name said something, but he was useless. He was a slave, and we are slaves of sin and self. He was a thief, and everybody apart from Christ has hijacked their life from God. He was on the run. People apart from Christ are running from God. They're running from God. And like Onesimus, we must face a sinful past. If we ignore it or if we avoid it, we might think we're free. But you know what? He was still a slave and still a prisoner, although he was in Rome. He was still a prisoner, still a slave. And people think, I'm free, I'm free. You're a slave until you go back home. And then secondly, we're all Onesimuses, and we must all experience grace through Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ came and died on the cross for our sins. Amen. And if we face that sinful past and turn and believe on the Lord, we find that he paid the debt that we owed. He paid the debt. And you know what he says? If Les Sutherland or if he or she owes anything, charge it to my account. Amen. Charge it to the cross. Charge it to the cross. And then he looks to the Father and he says to the Father, Father, he says that if accept them as you would accept me. That's what God does. When you come to Christ, we're accepted in the Beloved. He accepts us as he accepts Christ. Folks, what a Savior. Amen. What a Savior. What a wonderful Savior he is. Grace is free, but it's not cheap. Jesus paid for it on the cross. What grace he offers. Grace that can change our lives. And just like Jared could say, Here I was, and here I am. Subway made the difference. You know what? Here I was one day, and praise God, here I am. And you know what, folks? I'm not what I want to be, and I'm not what I hope to be, but thank God I'm not what I used to be. And you know what? Jesus made the difference. Grace made the difference. Has grace made the difference in your life? Let's pray.